Hello and welcome into the Server Data Show. I am Andrew Laird. You can find me as Lairdino on Server. Today, joined by Gator Guy 231 and Nepenthes to talk about some plans. Nep, as the music started, actually before the music started, you started, what is the term I'm looking for?
Beatboxing?
Beatboxing?
Onomatopoeia?
I don't think that's right either, but whatever the word is. Did you notice that, I don't think anybody's noticed this, but I basically now use music by day instead of by guest.
Oh.
And the music you just heard is actually Wednesday music, because we used to do the show on Wednesday, but today's Tuesday. But I was like, I don't know how Nep will react to different music.
I like all of the intro bits of music. So yeah, I'm about it. It's one of my favorite show of the whole podcast is a little like 15-second snippet of music.
So you're a content guy. I considered going to one piece of music for all 5 days. What do you think?
If it's like elite.
Yeah, just right? Absolute
yeah.
Banger.
Yeah. Yeah, because then you will get like people will start like subconsciously associating that with you. And yeah. So yeah, I'm about that, yeah.
Yeah, so I feel that, but you know, one person's banger is another person's, I don't know what the opposite of banger is, so I may just keep it. But anyway, thank you to everybody for coming in. Limpy was first in, looks like 3.5 hours early. Way to be. Arthur, imagine winning a podium, and Kev heard 108 minutes early for the podium. So congratulations to you three. Tuggy says, imagine planning in So Rare, which sounds like a Tuggy line. Arthur, imagine convincing yourself that you're obligated to win just because you have a plan. I don't know. Mike says, I don't even have one. While Ben says, it baffles me when people play with no plan. I like this one, So Rare Soul. The plan is simple. Identify the 1,000 cards you want, set So Rare Data price alerts, buy them all under your budgeted price, then fail to deploy the cards in the correct lineups each week. I think that's it. Daniel Cooper says, having a plan is easy. Being disciplined enough to follow through and not get distracted by other plans is near impossible.
Hold on. Can we replace that? I think we can
just
read
this chat and this will be the whole show.
I want to replace that line though. Distracted by other plans and to go distracted by other deals.
Ideas, deals. Yeah. Thanks everyone for coming in. Let's see. Yeah. Kushe, Tobias, Bob, Parrot Press, It's Wilson, Mike Bastin, Pineapple, Donut, and Gator. Oh, is that from the Croc Dude? Yeah. Even though Sean tried to steal that Croc Dude thing by saying he invented them. So remember, let's go. Nep stream. Nep's the reason I own K-League JPEGs.
There you go.
He's the reason I got into So Rare. Same thing. David Harkin, first time listener, long-term listener, first time live viewer. Good afternoon, all. David, thank you for coming in. And another David Marshall. So we're Holland. It's everyone's here. Love it. Love it. Surface. Oh, my gosh. I feel bad. I was Philly Dilly. Always feel bad for the new guys. They actually show up for noon show at noon. It is noon for me. But yeah, apologies for that. Jordan, Anthony, let me just get through these. Nixon, Kerry, Quagatoon. Are we convinced Sora has a plan with the changes being implemented? Yes. Halogen, yes, there's different music every day. 5 days, five different musics. You need a theme tune up to the level of match of the day. I don't know what that sounds like actually.
There's no way you don't know match of the day. No way.
I think there's a very good chance I don't know it.
No.
Unknowns, I love getting to watch one live, but now wondering what I'll listen to on my hour drive to work in the morning. That is always the tricky one. Keith is all over that one. Get some free music from Stish from the intro. I considered that. Well, actually, let me rephrase. I considered like buying music from Stish. And then the So Rare Ramble guys, I think he did their music. And I was like, man, should he just do the music for everyone?
Or is he tainted now that he's done it for somebody else? Yeah.
Not my words. Ricoman, what's up? I haven't figured out if this was Petter or Peter. What would you guys say? P-E-T-A-R.
Petar.
That wasn't even an option. very much an English thing. Match of the Day's lead. It's got to be on the internet, right? I don't know. Joe says, planning is satisfying, but shooting from the hip and landing a decent reward is pretty sweet. I do love a good hip shot. Can't wait to hear Keith have no idea what he's doing. It's from Sean. We say that every week. This is not new. I mean, you can't wait. Anyway, thanks everyone for coming in. Keith actually had a very specific topic for today.
I did, like a week ago.
A week ago, yeah. And he was like, and we were like, let's talk about it next week. And then it was like, hey, Nep, get in here. And so, Keith, I'm going to let you explain kind of where the idea came from, or not came from, like what the idea is, and we'll just jump into it.
Cool. So we changed the title because Laird put this line. I'm like, this is so much better than the title. Let's do that. But it was essentially, do you have a plan, stick to your plan, make buys that only are part of your plan, or do you actually have fun and and say F the plan? That looks like a fun deal. Completely buy the guy with no plan at all. That's how you end up with a Hugo. I never can say his last name right. That's
Kuypers. How
you end up with, yeah. Yeah, you end up with his super rare for like your third new season super rare when you don't have enough to play. Like, or do you go by the deal? And as probably a lot of people know on this show, I am driven by the deal.
Do either of you just go to the marketplace? Maybe you use a filter or something and you just look at what's out there and you're just like, oh, that's not a card I need, but that's cool. I didn't know he was that cheap. And you just buy it.
I don't even want to ask you
because I know that's how you buy every card. Nep, how much are you drawn by that?
I prefer to be drawn by looking at somebody else buying a card cheap and then getting angry that I didn't buy it.
Ooh.
Because it's cheap, yeah. Right? Like there's so many times where I'm like, why did I not buy that guy? Because this guy bought him and he's well cheap. But I tend to buy players, like I bought Marchisin, you know, the ex-Porto goalkeeper, because he's moved to Brazil. And it looks like he's going to be number one there.
Looks like.
Yeah, because he's like playing in their, what's their first one called? Like the Apertura or whatever. He's playing, he is their number one in that, but it's the one that's, but it's the one that's not scored. So, and so now I'm sitting there, like, and I thought I was being a genius, but now because they're in contenders and you can get like rare goalkeepers for like $3 now in contenders.
Challenge.
Is Brazil not in contenders? Oh, it's, okay, so like $8 for a rare goalkeeper then. It's like, I'm now sitting there like, okay, I've actually made a huge mistake here.
So I want to, as you were just saying about the deal thing, so this happened like Thursday-ish, but Laird, after, I don't remember what stream it was. Was it, I think it was ours with Surf. You're like, we brought up like the show super rare, and Laird's like, yeah, I really should get a show super rare. I'm like, why don't you just get an Eduardo super rare? It's probably half the price, not even knowing. And looked it up and immediately, like 10 minutes before, one went for what felt like a really good deal, right? We were like, oh, like that is what Nep's talking about, where you're just like, I would have loved that card for that price. He had no part of my plan, but now that I see the price, he should have been in that plan.
The thing is, though, had even one other person been interested in that card, it could have been like 2x what they paid for it in the first place. The amount of times there's been a card where I'm interested, I'm like, okay, it goes down to the last minute. And I'm like, if nobody bids now, we're in Green Street, right? I'm going to get this card for like $60. And then before you know it, it's like $105 is the bid. And you're like, I feel committed now. I could just let it go, but I'm so committed. I'm like, let me just overpay on this guy because he's about to have like hundreds, over 100. Yeah, there you go.
Yellow max bid, baby.
That's not true. The max bid thing, like your max bid is always maxier than what you thought your max
No. It totally depends on the type of time of day. There's a sleeping max bid and there's an awake max bid, and the awake max bid is always higher.
There's a third max bid though, Laird. There's the I'm watching the auction. My max bid is no longer winning, and I don't know, for me, it's like if I'm actually watching the auction, it's if I'm like 20 seconds left and now I have felt the euphoria that the card was going to be mine. Like, I'm like, oh man, I got the guy. And then somebody bids me up, pardon the French, but I'm like, fuck you, another one. And then their bid's higher. And then all of a sudden you clicked again. You didn't even know what happened. Like, you're like, my max, I'm already $200 over my max bid, and like, when is this gonna stop? And then you've already cooked again. And lately, I still am not getting them, even after I'm like two or three above my max bid.
I think the problem is that the term max bid is
flawed.
Yes. I was gonna call it unfair, but flawed is fine. Like, it's the most that you're willing to pay for this card hours or days before the auction ends. And then once you get to the end, then you really know what your max is, because it's three bids behind where you were. My other favorite thing about the person who outbids you is that you then hate them forever. You remember that name, and they'll send you an offer, 2 years later, and you're like, I know you. Even though they're probably somebody who is overpaid, but you're like, no, I'll never sell to you.
You have a list?
I have like a couple. Yeah. I don't bid on auctions much, but there are definitely names where I'm just like,
I want to see Laird's like a private SD manager list, because it's all of those guys. And he's just hoping he sees some of them that have got now galleries that are worth nothing. He's like, yes. He's like, that's one down. I told you.
Just praying for Opta downgrades for all of their players. Yeah.
Look, Sean's on your side here, Laird. He keeps receipts as well, I guess. Mm-hmm. That surprises me.
The overbidding isn't what surprises me the most now. It's the auction buyers, the instant buyers. Like, can you believe somebody paid £100 for Denny Bwanga's limited on instant buy when his rare, okay, it's old season rare versus new season in season limited, but his rare was only like £180. I'm like, at that point, that you surely have to recognize that you are wildly overpaying.
Is that an app thing, though? Is that like...
Yeah. And then sometimes I also think, I hope that this continues, because it buffs the pockets of So Rare, which continues the platform for longer.
Sure.
Right? Yeah.
Well, that was actually... I know you haven't caught up. That was actually like my big thing, like as I was listening yesterday, Laird. Like, I want to bring that up just a little bit here. But, you know, you were talking about, okay, a lot of these unique people are going away, but they're going to come to Super Rare, which, and maybe prop up Super Rare values, which is great. But also, like, for the longest time that I've been on the platform, uniques are like the main moneymaker. Like, you know, being able to all of a sudden get 80 ETH for one card, you know, that's a lot of Super Rares to pump back up. So that was like my only thought. Like, what's your take on that, Laird? Because I know you were like a big proponent yesterday on, you know, it's good for the super rare market that more people are interested in the top end supers.
I want to say that like the top uniques are still going to be pretty heavy in terms of price. And so it's those lower tier ones that are zero. And I guess you can make the point that there are enough of them that that's a problem. But I feel like the top one, I mean, obviously we see like that Mbappe went for a lot less. But I think they're still going to be the most expensive cards on the platform.
Correct.
I mean, they have to be.
I mean, an Andre Blake unique. I mean, I don't follow unique. I just happened to flag that one just out of curiosity. It just went for $7,000, which doesn't seem bad at all.
Did Andy buy it?
Andy.
The thing that bothers me about uniques that also bothered me about Super Rare and why Rare Pro or Rare Plus or D2, whatever we're calling it these days, was so... like enticing is because it has never been value to get, like, there's never been good value to move up the divisions really, what beyond rare plus. And now with the prize pools that they've issued for like unique, I even just look at that and I think you are like putting up a lot of risk, and the opportunity of winning is so small. I know it's small as well the lower levels, but the risk is way lower, and yet the prizes are almost on par at every level, almost like the discrepancy between risk versus reward just significantly increases up the ranks. And that just turns me, like, that makes me sit here and think I would actually sell all of my super rares right now if I could, and if I got like quote unquote market value for them, and just play rares and limiteds, because I think the risk aversion is way, way better there.
Even at super rare level, you think that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, but there are some cheap super rares, but yeah, there are some like real cheap super rares, but I think the like, I don't know, I just think like you're competing against people that have got great super rares already. And there's not that many play, like the prize pool doesn't pay down enough to the point where I would think that I would, over a course of a year or a cycle of a season or something, that I would ever be able to yield really anything unless I did that a whole shoot from the hip and just hope for the best. And I don't think that's an appropriate way to play the game at those levels, whilst I do think it's a lot more reasonable, limited and rare.
What if the card you want the most, you got the most killer deal ever at super rare? Would that change your plan?
No, it depends. Like, if the deal was that good, I would buy it to sell it and then just use it in rare whilst I waited to sell it. Lister, or even in limited, just to look really cool. You know, imagine running like four limited cards and then like a super rare Kai Havertz as your fifth, just because.
That does not sound like a good idea, actually.
Yeah, that's it. Nobody's looking at that and be like, damn, I wish I had that.
Now, if you wanted to flex like a Messi super rare down limited, I'd call you a moron, but also go, okay, you're flexing.
We need to flex elsewhere if that's where we're flexing. I think the tricky part of what you said, the get the cheap super rare because it's underpriced and you can sell it later for more. I don't think that's ever worked.
Yeah.
In the history of the platform.
And it definitely doesn't work in Lister.
Right. The Lister play is impossible.
Because you just never have the opportunity, it feels like. Because then, you know, you go from a lineup to going, oh, that's a great card. I probably need to train him up. And you just keep this.
I remember the show we did a while ago, or I don't remember when it was. I can look it up, but I'm too lazy. When Zarchi got an Mbappe rare for like
40. 40. Yes.
And we were like, did the site break? What happened? Like, we couldn't believe how cheap that was. And everyone was like, no, that was a one-off. Like, don't worry about it.
And then it went back to five, by the way. There was like one sale right afterwards that made everybody go, okay, look, let's go.
We're fine. We weren't fine.
I always get baited in by that, where I buy a card and I know like I've got a good deal because, you know, whatever, I feel positive about this card for one reason or another. And then over the few days after, his price trends up and I'm like, yes, I knew it. He's going to be a G. And then the hype bubble bursts and everyone's like, oh, this guy's like way too expensive for the scores that he provides. And then you just see that curve come straight back down to like half of what you initially paid for it at a good deal. And you're like, what's happened here? How has it gone this bad?
Well, we literally just had that with Steve Clark super rare.
Oh yeah.
So I'm going to talk in ETH terms just because I'm trying to get fiat. I'm really trying to get there. It's still really hard for me. But so I'm going to talk in ETH here, but like he had just sold 2 days before, and let's just, ETH hadn't moved too much. Like had gone up then back down, but like at like 0.2, I sent out a couple pretty crappy offers comparatively to that for like 0.14, 0.15. And one guy was nice enough to respond. He's like, hey, I need a little bit more. One just sold. I'm like, I saw that. I'm way too terrified that this is going to come down. Like I see the trajectory. This is what I'm going to give you. I'm like, I'll add a little bit more. 0.16, that's it. And then I had to run into an appointment. I'm like, I'm going to send you the offer. It's no big deal. If you want to take it though, go for it. And then I came out of the appointment. He had taken it. Lair's like, that's what a Steve Clark got. I'm shopping for that. It has not been 5 days and there are multiple underneath myself.
Yep.
And so it's just like, it's a weird reset. You know, I try to say this a lot, you know, obviously a lot of people know that the stream, know, like I sell houses and I always try to remind people just because one person paid a price. Yes, we're using that to help baseline what your home or your card is worth. That doesn't mean there's another one.
Yeah.
And if we do everything else humanly possible, sell the car or sell the house and nobody's buying, either something has to change economically within the site or
this is
coming down if you really want to get rid of it.
This is the Mbappe chart. So Zarchi's buy was right here, four and a half ETH. The one before it was 8 ETH. So it went from 8 on January 6th. And then what is that? 2 weeks later, 4.5. It did go back up to almost 6 ETH. And then it did not go.
Isn't that January when ETH crashed, though?
That's turned into fiat, yeah. That's 60,000. Jeez.
Wait, hold on.
That's wild, isn't it?
No, 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 this way. January. So this is his. $7,000. So.
Yeah, it's still low. Yeah.
Yeah.
Although compared to now, it's actually.
It's great.
Yeah, it's pretty good, to be fair. Do you think, because I was trying to like there are so, like, even stars now are so affordable. You know, is it because there are just so many players that score that level of points on the site, and people are just savvy now to the fact that you don't need an Mbappe when you can just buy insert next guy for 1/10 the price that will give you the same return?
I think the new structure kills that, no? Like, how many Champion Europe forwards are you getting Mbappe scores with?
I mean, you've got Mbappe, you've got Kane, you've got, like, look at the Arsenal forwards, they're brilliant, like Jesus and Martinelli, like, they're both brilliant, you know?
There's an easy way to do this.
Griezmann, like, yeah, Vendras just said, that's a good call.
That's the list. But I guess that proves your point.
Yeah, quite literally, yeah. So like, and okay, the what's priced in.
Take off the age range, Laird.
The thing that's priced in as well is the fact that
this is it for last 40.
And that's what's surprising there is how cheap Harry Kane is compared to Mbappe, because his credentials as an individual are very, very, very good. Okay, even when he was playing for Spurs, they might not be winning titles, but you don't need to win titles to score 100 points in a game, right? So
they don't win titles Bayern anymore either.
Yeah, but yeah, exactly. Yeah. So what makes Harry Kane half the price of Mbappe?
He's old. He's in his 30s.
He's older.
Well, let's also not discount. I mean, I guess Harry. I was just going to say name, because Mbappe is always just considered the holy grail of cards. But, you know, Harry Kane's up there too. But, you know, I do think there's always cards on this platform that are always just overpriced because of
the name. Who they are.
Yeah, just, you know, how cool. Nobody ever says, man, once I've won a Harry Kane, I've won this game.
Could you imagine? That's when we leave. Kane's L40, similar players, Mbappe, Griezmann, and Son.
There you go. That makes sense.
But I think that's the point, is that, like, Cicinha doesn't fly anymore. When you're like, I'm not going to get Mbappe, I'll just get Cicinha.
Right.
Yeah, not now anymore. But, I mean, you'd surely, like, wouldn't your use of funds, instead of having Mbappe, wouldn't it be better to have Kane, Griezmann, and Son?
Yeah, you could have all three, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a much better route, for sure.
And I mean, I think, like, a few years ago, I don't think people were kind of like, looking at that, they were just looking at Mbappe being like, look how much he's worth. Like, I want him.
I think the U23 played into it with Mbappe.
Yeah, it would have done. Yeah.
Daniel says Vinny being so much cheaper than Mbappe is weird to me. They're not
that comparable.
No.
As somebody that won a Vinny and wasn't that happy about it, they're not all that comparable. I think Parrot Press's question is interesting, because I know. Nep, I would love to hear your opinion, because we haven't had you on or talked to you nearly enough since all the changes and stuff. I think, Larry, you're with me. Like, winning cash is a little less fun than winning really fun cards with that aspect. So, you know, Parapress question, do you think the percentage of people playing playing for a cash over card reward is the highest since it's been since launch? Has to be, right? No, you don't think so?
Didn't we just go through like a year of people only playing thresholds?
Yeah, I think
true.
Yeah.
True.
I think whether or not you find cash or cards fun as well is largely dependent on where you are in your journey on SoRare. Like right now, I'm so happy just winning cash constantly.
Sure.
For two reasons. Number one, I can buy who I want rather than get given who I'm told. And number two, it gives a genuine, like I've actually built up a really healthy cash balance now over my last like 4 or 5 weeks and I'm just sitting there and looking at it. Do you know what I'm looking at? Because I'm winning cards, which is actually nice. Like, it's good to win cards and win cash, but yeah, winning cards. and good cards as well. I've won a few stars in the last few weeks and stuff, which is brilliant. But I know how much I've invested into this platform, and to see a good portion of that in cash on the platform makes me feel a lot more comfortable with what I've invested in the platform.
You could always just deposit too. That makes the number go up.
It could, yeah. It does, yeah. Just double my investment in, pretend that bit doesn't exist, and be like, look, I'm basically back at square one.
Yeah, I'm even. Yeah.
So I want to do a fun story and then get reactions. Laird may know a little bit of it, but not the full bit. So our good friend Tuggy, because Tuggy's just always such a great subject. He wins. So this is going to go back to the topic of the show about like the plan. He won a Walker Zimmerman rare new season. He's pretty excited about it. I think, Laird, I don't know if you remember, it was like a tier two or tier three.
Yeah,
it was tier three. Yeah, it was a good win. So immediately he bought a Joe Willis rare, who immediately gets benched, but like not like full bench, just rotation for midweek bench. They like to get, like, you want to edit?
Willis wasn't the next buy.
Oh, is there one I missed? Oh no, he bought the backup goalkeeper. That's right. He bought the backup goalkeeper.
The one of.
And then Willis. And then last night, as I'm falling asleep, I get a message from Tuggy. Let's go. And I'm like, oh gosh, what is it? Sam Surridge, who's the forward, who's okay, you know, former EPL guy. And he goes, well, I guess I need a Hany Mukhtar now. And I'm like, Tuggy, did you make a plan based on a win? And he's like, I think I might have. Go ahead.
That's exactly what So Rare wants. Like, absolutely. That is to a T why we have card rewards and why they will never go away. Because he won some tier three center back from the US, and all of a sudden he is five cards deep.
Who's injured for 6 weeks? He has not gotten injured for 6 weeks,
and now he is five cards deep, including a backup goalie. My favorite was, he's like, I'll get the backup just in case. Immediately Willis gets benched, and he's like, hey, I've got a starter. And I'm like, and you have a backup now. Like, you still have what you had.
Well, no, I think the best part, I think, on that same thread, I was just like, Tuggy, you actually don't have a goalkeeper anymore because you have no clue who's starting anymore.
Yeah, that's the worst.
I do think it will normalize. I do think it's Willis. I think it was, you know, getting a good backup some games when they had a midweek. So I actually don't think he's, like, screwed or anything. It was just hilarious.
Yeah, Toby said making a plan based on the fun reward is the best, in my opinion. Is the best, though. I agree. I love it. I've definitely done it.
So this is not a shot at Tuggy. Like, I don't mind it at all. I don't think Nashville is a bad, like, you know, we've actually talked about, like, when you stack teams, if you can actually, like, get a team that, like, almost at every line of position has just, like, one guy that's pretty much up there, that's, like, a really good thing. So, like, you know, Willis, top, you know, third percentile MLS goalkeeper, same with Zimmerman. Hany, probably a little overrated, but, you know, right now he's on a horrible run, so maybe you get to go up. Yeah, I think we're all... Surridge is fine. And then, you know, don't then do the what was it? The best PSG stack is Kimmich. So don't get another Nashville from here. Like, you don't need to get a fifth one. I loved it. I think it's fun. Like chat is saying, but it is the whole, do I make a plan or do I let a deal or a reward dictate what my plan is? And for that example, it was definitely
I've started moving into the Carl Schruher stack now. You know, the Wanet Zex team, it's easier to say. So I won Nobel last year. Then I won Wanet Zex this season when he wasn't doing great. And then their striker, like Zvitskvade, whatever his name is, who's a banger, by the way, he was like $13 for his rare in season. I was like, this is absurd. Like, and so I bought him as well. And now I'm like, okay, I might as well now go for like a defender and a goalkeeper and just have the full collection. But I'm not going to, because I have I'll tell you why, right? I have so many classic cards for challenger and contender. And for challenger and contender, and not enough in champions, because obviously champions is where you can field all the lineups under the sun. But in challenger and contender, it's only three each. And I'm like, I am so overburdened in these areas.
Six.
Right? Because you could do like Premier League, Bundesliga, La Liga, and yeah. Well, no, because I've only got, I don't have in-seasons. I only have classics. Have enough in-seasons. Yeah.
If you have too many in-seasons, I've got, you can always play them.
Yeah, that would be great. Yeah, but I've just got way too many classics. And so I'm really hoping that.
You could have six Arsenal classic lineups.
Yeah, and I will.
Yeah,
maybe even, yeah. I might even try and put them into the special weeklies as well, because on that week where they pop off, I'm winning the site. I'm literally so rare, just going to sign the deeds over to me and be like, here you go, it's all you. But yeah, so but like all of that stemmed from winning a award. But what,
I mean,
like,
that's a Tuggy. You just did the same.
One of the things, but like, even with Tuggy winning a Zimmerman, right, one of the most painful things I find on So Rare is winning a reward that used to be a star. Because you're like, oh, I've won him, like, you know, Zimmerman. When I first joined the platform, I bought a Zimmerman for something crazy, like $1,500, right? It was like, he was absurd priced. Now he's probably about $7.
Well, see, I think
31.
I think that's actually a good example. Like, that's ultimately probably where things are going to keep evolving, though, because the line between dust, you know, to go like dusty to off injured but still has like legs where he could be okay is really hard. Yes, Larry.
Just a little, a quick little trivia for you too. What do you think the most expensive Walker Zimmerman rare card sold?
It's absurd. It's literally like a Mbappe chart. There's like one way too high up there.
Two. There's an auction and then a secondary went higher than that.
If it's me, the boy, please don't show it.
It's not you.
Fiat, are you? Fiat, are you? How are we doing this?
Whatever you want.
Oh, God. I'm going to go. I'm
looking at dollars. So
I'm going to go ETH if it's okay.
Sure.
And I'm going to go 3 ETH for rare.
Thankfully, you're not remotely close.
Way too low.
No, way too high. $100,000. So it's actually different ETH and fiat in terms of the all-time high. The all-time high ETH is 0.69 for a rare card.
Oh.
The all-time high for fiat is $2,173.
Okay.
Actually, was that the same price?
Can we do a more fun one with the screen share?
$2,179. Is that what I said? By Roxy.
I want to do a more fun one with a screen share for Nep, because I don't know if he's going to know this name or not, and I want it on the screen. Nep, there is a defender who was U23 at the time in the MLS. He did not have a card. They released him, and the one-of went for one of the most absurd price. The guy who you may... Yeah, well, you can type it in as I'm doing the little pump-up here. The guy, somebody you may not know, he's actually in the English second division, I found, because I have one of his cards as a rare. His name is Donovan Pines.
Would
you like to guess the price?
He's giving it away. He's giving it away. I saw it.
No, you just saw there's one that's absurd.
It was like $2,000, wasn't it? Yeah, it was two.
No, just do ETH. Just do ETH then. Just do ETH.
No, so I'm saying there were a couple that went that high.
Well, I mean, they're the one of, and then everybody was just like
1.074. 0.959 and then 0.565.
And show the scores now, but when he started in the last like year. That's actually, they're not horrible, are they?
See, like, so one of the things that when I messaged about like coming on the pod, one of the things that I wanted to talk about, maybe we could do that next week or something, is expectations of winning rewards in the new division format. Because I genuinely think that like obviously we'll only be able to learn this when the gameplay comes in a couple of weeks, but I genuinely think that you can farm rewards in the lower divisions with players like Donovan Pines. He is a prime, like, people seem to think that if you don't have like smashers now, you're never going to win anything. But I honestly believe that, like, you know, you spoke about previously, Led, on a podcast. I can't remember if it was the one on a Fridays where you did it by yourself or with somebody, where you think Division 2 and 3 will have higher scores than Division 1, which I absolutely agree with. But similarly, I think Division 4 and 5 will have horrific scores because people will have DMPs in. People will they'll be the divisions where people just haven't done their research on if a player suspended or injured or something like that. And if you've got like Donovan Pines-esque players in a lineup that's consistently in and around Division Three or Division Four, I genuinely think not even necessarily the card rewards that would be exciting, but the loot boxes where you can get more and good stuff from there. I honestly think that those sort of players will have good value in giving people the perception of winning, even if what they're winning is terrible and you know, maybe like a tier five rare. That perception, that feeling of like, oh my gosh, I've just got a card in Division Four is enough for me to make people think that they're winning. But I also think it will be easy to do in those divisions.
I just don't think the rewards will be good enough for you to want to do that.
Because you're just getting another Donovan Pines-esque type guy back.
But isn't that like for low budget managers? Because a lot of my community have been complaining that as a low budget player, they now have no place. I'm like, this is literally for you, right? And so you would want to keep all of as many of your lineups as possible in a low division. So if you have a lineup that's in like Division Four, let's say you've got two in Division Four and one gets promoted to Division Three, go and put your terrible lineup there so you come back down to Division Four the next week while still playing a lineup in Division Four. So if you spend still $100 on a rare classic lineup and you win, even if it's a tier four, that's an in-season tier four. Like that has reasonable value, where over the course of a whole year, again, if like the way I look at this game anyway with ROI perspective, I think getting 100% ROI on classic teams in those low divisions is going to be really easy to then build out and flesh out classic teams in all different, like, you know, in contenders, in challengers, in champs, in all of the individual champs, and actually play the game as I think SoRare intends it, to collect and build a gallery because it makes sense, rather than to hope to win an Mbappe.
I just want no part of Division Four. That's the only way I feel of it. Like, I want to be able to win the best prizes possible, but I guess I understand your point. And I do think that the scores in Division Four, I think to win Division Four, you still need a very high score.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah.
So
go ahead.
I'm just not sure I'm not sure it makes enough of a difference between four and three and four that you actually want to be in four over three. I think I said that right.
I think when you're playing, when you're talking about like the Donovan Pines level of card, how much is he right now? Like,
well, he doesn't covered. So,
right. He's a bad example for now.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Sean and Laird used, God, what was the guy's name yesterday? Somebody's put Corbo from Montreal. Yeah, that's probably a half decent example. Assuming he has any upside.
I have him on.
He's a star. He's a tier three in limited and rare. Star. Tier two. Oh, jeez. What are we doing?
Those first type of options always screw stuff up. So I think there's a lot there, Nip. I think I agree with the decent stuff, and there's probably a lot that I don't agree with. I'd say that here's the first thing. I think this is where Laird's going. Tier four and tier five right now, there's some serious ugliness in those. And like, you literally can, I mean, I've been selling tier threes right now for $15-$20. Tier fours and tier fives are like $5, $7. And you know, I think that's a harder ROI to churn. Like, it's there, right? It's not zero. So it still is technically a return on the investment. I think first off, some people have a really hard time of selling a card for $5 to $7, especially if they've been on the platform for so long. Hi, Laird.
Yep, me too.
I've actually adopted this new strategy, which sounds like I have a plan. I do not. But
please don't confuse this for a plan.
No, literally, that's just what I was going to say as I'm saying that. I'm like, wait, that sounds way too planned. But literally, if it's not a guy I've heard of or I care about or like on anybody I would ever expect to make a team, I'm not even going to Silver Data anymore and looking up the valuation. I send it to the couple bots that I know are truthful, and whoever offered me the most money, is it's gone. It's just out the door. I don't even want to know if I got 10, you know, what he was sold for 2 weeks ago. That's where the pain sets in. And you're just like, I should hold this guy. It's like, no. You are going to hold him in your gallery for 2 years and never use him. Or use him one time and he's going to wreck a lineup. Not make it. He's going to wreck the lineup. Get the money. Store it. Have the ability to do something. So I think if people actually did sell, yes, that's an ROI mechanism. But it's really, really slow. And I think the speed, if people start comparing it to what we used to have, that's a problem. I will also say that this is my agreement with your example about tier four and tier five. I absolutely think there's players like a Donovan Pines. I wish we could use a better example. Maybe somebody in chat can come up with a higher upside type of defender or midfield that has really low lows, but can peak out that score. There is a place for those guys, because if you get them in the nut matchup, like that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like that can be a guy that I can store, that can go 100 or he can hit 20. And hopefully I can figure out the correlation to when he's able to get the hundreds. You know, probably at home. Probably yeah. First place.
I was going to say, whatever home game it is.
But, you know, again, I mean, I think Neps talked about it, or, you know, a couple other smarter people than I've talked about it. You know, you can get these like middle of the line Bundesliga club, Wolfsburg, Augsburg, I don't know who else in the middle. And then they play that terrible team that like has allowed like 60 goals. They can bang, you know, that can be a matchup. You know, maybe it's only two or three times a year, but
if you're able to get like a whole team like that for a very reasonable outlay, you like, and especially if you're keeping a lineup in a low division, when you get those matchups, and yet it still doesn't guarantee you a victory. And of course, if everyone adopts the same strategy, like you're going to have lots of different banging matchups that week as well. You know, like it could still all go wrong.
Nobody's adopting good... that strategy.
Yeah,
dude, well, that's too much work now. That's too much. No.
It is. Fine. Yeah, it is.
It's too much work now. Like, I think the majority of the community, myself included, like, I was actually thinking about this morning. I think that's what I miss most, and maybe I just need to go back to it and say, F what the cards are worth. This is a mechanism still. I need the money involved to keep me interested, but it is a mechanism for fun. Like, that's why I still play Silver, because I enjoy it. I enjoy the strategy. Even though the upside's gone, maybe my plan should be doing what I used to do that I was very successful with and had a lot of fun, which is planning for matchups. Is like going like this, you know, I'll give away one. Orlando City home to Austin this week, with Orlando City coming off of multiple bad losses, a lot of people panicking. That's like an all-time bounce back crazy spot. Like, old me would have been swooping up some Orlando City new season cards and going like, this is it. Here's the plan. First week of the new cash competition. Boom. I'm good. I'm willing to accept a $50 to $100 loss on these guys to give myself upside for first. Like that's how I used to play Silver. And I had so much fun doing it, like the specialist and underdog type of format. I kind of gotten away from it. I will say this though, like if you're like planning game weeks, like you were just talking about, like build up the depth of your gallery, and you're gonna have all those type of players, you better do like layered spreadsheet type of thing where you make sure that two of your shit players aren't in terrible matchups that completely wreck three of your all-timer matchups.
Yeah.
Like, you can't do that with bottom level tier three, tier four type of players. You got to make sure they're all five nut spots, 5H, nothing less, no A's, all H's.
I think that's different than what Nep was talking about, though. Like, that's not the lineup you're worried about in the lower divisions.
Yeah, I do think so, and I also genuinely believe, and we will have to. They must have run tests or whatever, but I also believe that the number of maybe they haven't. The number of players in each division, you don't even have to place in the card rewards to get the loot boxes.
But what are you expecting out of those bottom loot boxes? Seriously.
Like, genuinely not a lot.
Tier 5 rare cards. That's what you get.
But it's like what I like the idea of as like, you know, I've always been like the rags to riches style of things, like whether it were, you know, my ultimate team, like content in my own personal life, like it's always been like rags to riches. And I love the idea of like getting three loot boxes from Division 3 or Division 4 over the, you know, a couple of times a month, whatever. And then at the end of the month, having like 40 or 50 loot boxes stored and just doing a massive opening and being like, look, if I even get like five cards here, like this is going to be insane. And just the idea of like, there will be a guy, because I've looked on SD and I've looked at what people won out of the loot boxes from the 270 special tournament before. And there's some guys who were like so far down the list of like the reward level that hit the best cards out of the loot boxes. And it's going to be, for me, like so good to see. And I'm like willing it to happen that somebody, you know, finishes 25th percentile in Division 4 and hits a tier 2 rare in season that just happens to be someone coming off the back of an injury, like a David Alaba or something, that ends up being worth a crazy amount. And it's like, this is what So Rare should be about. It's like enjoying all aspects. Even if you're a low budget manager in a low division, you still have that prospect of hitting something.
So I love that. But you know what the problem with the guy that loot boxes into a David Alaba? He'll tag So Rare and bitch that David Alaba is out for the season.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
You give me an injured player.
Do you think people will be upset about what they get?
I don't think they'll be upset about what they get.
It's 24.
I think they'll be upset about what other people got that they didn't get.
Like, yeah, I think Jeff is right about that. He's like, oh, I had a 1% chance of getting something, whatever. But this motherfucker over here is behind me, and he
got it. Yeah.
You know what? Hold on. Let's go on there. Apologies for and sure. He does streaming content.
Oh, yeah. Legit. Yeah. Oh, man. I wish so read my rewards. Honestly, every time I get podium, I get the worst possible option. I'm like, do you know what, guys? If you just gave me the best possible option, it would entice people to spend money on your website.
Now, can right. You please you know tag
how much better we all will be if we get yeah. good rewards?
Now, yeah. Can you please tweet that on your next reward? Like, do the video capture and just be. Imagine if you would have given me Mbappe here.
Yeah.
What that would do for your site.
Yep.
Right. You exactly. want marketing? Here's the marketing. Yeah. Thora Soul said it's going to be the same guy who outbid you at the auction that wins that great card. So Juju said, how long can you wait with getting your rewards? Is it limited or can I technically wait? I think you can wait the rest of your life.
Yeah.
I believe, because Sean has told me, there is a big whale on the platform who hasn't opened a reward in like 2 months.
Lair, do you remember this?
Do we know who it is?
Yes.
I think I can guess. Name. Okay, I think I can guess who it is.
Yeah, don't name
names. Okay.
Does it matter?
I mean, you didn't name names, so I thought there was a reason that you didn't want to say it, Laird.
Yeah, I don't know why I didn't say it.
Okay.
Who do you think it is, Nat?
I think it's Roxy. Okay.
There was one. There was one like really killer. I mean, there was a Sonic Pooch. Super Rare in there. There was like a Pooch.
That was Super? The funny thing is that I went through and I was like, yeah. I didn't. He doesn't need to open these.
There was a few, but like you said, there was a lot. Yeah, there was a lot that he didn't need. Lair, do you remember there was somebody that got really pissed at Server Data, I want to say like 2 years ago, that was doing the stashing their rewards? I think he tweeted it or something. I definitely talked to you about it. And he was really so deaf. I don't know if you saw this. He was like, I'm stashing all my rewards for the end of the month, and then I'm going to open them. I want to say, he might have been a content person that maybe or may not do content, but Server Data, stop showing me what I won on his reward screen, and like on your gallery, because Server Data knows what it is.
Everything.
When I finished second in All-Star Rare Plus behind Sean, or Champion Europe Rare Plus behind Sean, and Sean told me he had won Mbappe, and I was looking at the other options. I was like, I would take any Premier League in season. That would just be great. But specifically like a Rodri, I'll take like another Edison, although he's injured now. I'll take Harry Kane. I got like my stream was already like preempting and pre-warning me that don't get too gassed because it's not that good. And I got Ter Stegen, and I was just like, I was so sad because he's also got Saudi rumors now and stuff. And I'm like, oh, come on, man. Like, it just couldn't have been worse. It couldn't have been worse. The cash was nice, though.
Always is.
Yeah. So Sean, if I sit there and I thought to myself, if Sean didn't put that lineup in, I would have won Mbappe. Mm-hmm. So if he just gives me Mbappe, it's like the same. You know, he could just give me Mbappe. He could just be nice, couldn't he? He could just be nice and just give me Mbappe.
The fact that you think Sean of all people would do that.
Yeah. Well, we all have dreams.
Sean's literally probably responding back, Nep, I will be really nice to you, but what will you give me?
He said, if it makes you feel any better, I literally bought Madison that week and had to beg Bellama to sell me Son for 3 days. I don't know why that would make anybody feel better. But
no.
That he put it in work.
He had
a plan to fuck you, Nep. That was why you're supposed to feel better. That he planned.
Yeah, it took him time to actually like put this together, yeah.
Right.
What I will say, though, is the Arsenal collection for me has started yielding me so much more than I ever thought it would. Because when I bought it, we were like, all right, not great.
Yeah.
And this last few months, we've been amazing. And it's like, damn, I love it when a plan comes together.
And like you bought them for, were the cash competitions already going on? Like the Premier League special?
It was when they introduced, that first.
The first competition. One, right.
Yeah, I bought it for that.
It was also
that,
like if you didn't get your money back then, it's like there were no more opportunities. And then they instituted the full one and you just.
Yeah,
on that one.
Cleaning up is nice.
Yeah, cleaning up is nice. I heard. I would have no idea. Server said, I noticed lately is that it's hard for a lot of the current user base to enjoy the strategy / fun aspect of the game with how much prices have crashed. It's a very hard mental hurdle to overcome.
Could not have said that better.
Yeah.
That was literally what I was just talking about, too. Like, but I think I want to say, if my time allows it, to go back to it, because I absolutely love planning for like a game week and just going, here's this little advantage. Go ahead, Laird. I have to know.
You just said I love planning for game weeks, and every Thursday you're like, fuck, I gotta
make because it. I don't plan it. That's literally half the time now in months. That is the first time I look at the game week. And I'm starting to make, I think because my gallery has so many cards that I'm just going to naturally have at least 2 to 3 lineups that go to the top that, you know, have the matchups that I want and things like that. And more often than not, it's kind of there, but they're still not like the best plays. But, you know, when I kind of, it's going to sound really bad, but like was making my like ascendancy or my gallery was improving or my results were improving, I was looking for spots and I was buying a guy for this game week, like 2 weeks away. That's when everything was going to line up. And like my best super rare had the best matchup. So now I just need a really good rare midfielder because my guy is, I have Gil, but he's a way too LAFC don't even finish or something. You already knew. Hey, shout out to, off topic, shout out to Sober Under for giving me proper what was it? I was the disciple, the proper home. The brand is strong, Laird.
The Sower of Gods direct contacted you directly with that.
If anybody has not watched that episode of Sower Down Under, that is just like one of the most quintessential must-watch Sower episodes. So if you just want to go back to just like escaping Sower strategy for a little bit and just have fun and laugh, and definitely as a listener, I went back and watched it just to see them in their wardrobes. Amazing. Just a must watch for everybody. So sorry for the long plug, but that was just so good.
It was great. It was great.
So good. So good.
Somebody asked earlier, I think it might have been Mike Baston, what is the difference between a strategy and a plan? And I had no answer to that. Because you were like, it wasn't a plan. It was just a strategy. And it was like, what did you mean by that, Keith?
I mean, I think to me, I think plan is like long term. I think like, you know,
yeah.
Versus like, I don't know, or maybe it's vice versa. Maybe strategy is long term. I don't know. One of the two.
I think you can have like planning a lineup or lineups for a long period of time. You'd have to have a plan for what you'd put where would go where. But I think a strategy would be like buying backup goalkeepers to sell
sure.
when they go up in like when they become first choice or whatever.
But so Kusje, 1256. Problem is there is no long term anymore. And so I literally was just thinking this is I talk to people like in my like circle and I see people always planning long term. And I do think the reality between long term strategy building, as we've gotten like so many cards in the site, especially in limited and rares, is long term strategy building is never gonna it's so rarely going to lead to like the optimal set of matchups for the given week. And I do think short term planning can.
I completely agree with you. And I will add that I think long-term planning on So Rare has never been a viable strategy.
It shouldn't have been, but everybody always thinks it does.
Mm-hmm. One of like my biggest mistakes when I joined So Rare was planning like for a long, long, long term. And it makes it more painful when the glaringly obvious comes back and smacks you in the face. But it's like when I was buying even like rares and things, and it's like there's going to be 100 more of these next year. And you don't think about that at the time. You just think about it in the moment and apply that to a year down the line. And that was one of the reasons why I haven't bought for the new MLS tournament is because I've been burnt so many times buying in the hype when something new comes and it's never worked out. Unless it like worked out down the line, like with the Arsenal collection. But the Arsenal guys that I bought for that moment didn't work out for that moment. I got lucky with it somewhere else down the line. And so, yeah, I think looking back and seeing these glaringly obvious things on the site and being like, if I just planned for like a month, you know, 4 game weeks or 8 game weeks, whatever, you might have a lot better success, not only in terms of what you could and couldn't win, but also in terms of like the fluctuation of the values of the cards that you buy, you've got way less chance of them just completely like nosediving.
I think the biggest problem with planning long-term is that everyone's expectation is getting the returns to pay off that long-term plan in the short term. And so when it doesn't work in 4 weeks, you're just like, this site sucks. It's going to zero. Oh, they're just stealing from me. And it's like, did you buy this card to play for 4 weeks? You're like, no, he's got 10 years of eligibility. He's only 17 years old. I got U23 out the ass. And then you just complain that it doesn't work.
What do you guys consider long-term versus short-term? That I see a couple of people posting in chat.
7 days versus 8 days.
I would say short-term is like 1 to 2 months. And long-term is like 12 months plus.
Oh my God. You have so much more patience.
I was going to say, did you join the site yesterday?
Nep, we're going to be on version 3 of the new season stuff by that time.
Yeah. Well, and that's the other thing is like, even when I first joined again, it's like All-Star was great. You could put a common in there in All-Star Rare. You get Threshold in there. Like I was sitting there grinding my common division, not because I cared about winning the commons, like the limiteds that you could out of the commons, which I did a couple of times, but because I just wanted to keep getting those star goalkeepers, man. Like, give me another
Allison.
Goalkeeper for
you just wanted an Allison goalkeeper at that
exactly that, and it was like in my head, I'm like, wow, this is amazing. I'm just gonna this is gonna be me for the rest of my. I'm gonna be the greatest Surrey manager ever, winning All Star and winning like I can't even remember what it was back then for winning it. I don't think it was $50. It was like
.02,
yeah. And because ETH was like $10 billion in ETH, you like honestly, you could buy a house every time you hit a threshold. It was great.
Laird, I'm passing it back to you. Short term, long term. Don't say 7 and 8 days. I reject.
I think I don't think what I do is I don't think I long term plan. I'll put it that way. Or if I do, it's because somebody else has determined that whatever my, like, every card that I try to acquire is towards a goal of making my current gallery better for today. I'm not looking at fixtures months ahead of time. I'm not looking at promotion and relegation of like, oh, this guy's going to get relegated. So, and if I want to play him in challengers or contenders, let me go. Like, my gallery is at a point now where I am trying to improve each piece. Like, every card I have can, there is a better one somewhere. And so I don't think I long-term plan at all.
But hold on, I got to catch Laird in one thing he said there. He does not plan for promotion or relegation, but he does plan for promotion and relegation playoffs.
Which are in the next 5 weeks.
Well, short term. Like that, which is short term.
I would consider that long-term planning for me. 6 weeks.
Okay. Okay. So that, yeah, I mean, I think that's long-term for me too. And I think that short-term is like the next 2 to 3 game weeks, probably two. I don't think I've ever looked past three. At this point,
I had sorry, carry on, Keith. Finish.
No.
I'm gonna deviate now.
No, please, please go for it.
I had a realization when I was looking at the, like, England got some friendlies coming up, and the team got picked or whatever, and I went on to FOTMob. I started looking at all of the teams, like France's team and like Argentina's team, and I thought, do you know what would be a great way to play this game? Just buying like the core best 10 or 15 players for all of the best nations that exist, because who, like Mike Maignan, one of the best goalkeepers on the platform. And then when France play, one of the best goalkeepers on the platform, like, you're going to have coverage through all Champions League events, because guess who plays in the best teams that are still left in the Champions League? All the best players are playing for their best nations, right? You're going to have coverage for the Euros, for the World Cup, for the AFCONs. You're going to have coverage for the best teams across, like, the actual leagues, and you're just never going to miss. And I was like, damn, what a strategy that would be to just focus.
I feel like you just said buy the best players. Like, you,
no,
you
not dressed, the best players.
You dressed it up in this really nice wrapping paper that's about international, and you literally said buy Mbappe, buy Kane.
But guess who's one of the best players on the platform that doesn't fit in there? Like Carlos Hill, right? You wouldn't buy a Carlos Hill because he doesn't play for Spain.
But guess what? He's not one of the best players on the platform anymore. That's the whole thing.
Okay, let's find a best player on the platform.
Nep, you're misunderstanding what I'm saying there. A guy in Challenger is no longer the best player on the platform.
But I think you've got players in Champion. I think you'll have players in Champion as well that are really high in the rankings that aren't playing for their international team.
I think that's going to be harder to find in Champion. Let's see. I'm curious. But
more recently, not so much, but Grimaldo. Pierre Lys Melou. He's the fifth best player in Champion Europe. Okay. And he wouldn't even sniff the French team.
Okay, I will.
He actually is a banger. Jesus Christ! He is
so outrageous. I'm so angry that I didn't buy that card.
You had him. That's with your other favorite card guy, right? Your
Del Castillo. Yeah.
Yeah, that's like Larry's favorite card. One of the
stupidest things I've ever done was not buying that card 4 months ago. Anyway.
Yeah.
But I'm going to agree with Keith that you literally just said buy the best player. And you're choosing to not buy like four of the 20 best players, and like that's okay. Like you're buying them, like there's a reason to buy those players, and there are peripheral benefits that you get from those players, and you're buying them for the periphery and getting the benefit of the regular. Yes, like you're buying Mbappe for like 6 games. And
but
you're
then
getting
defending
an extra
it
40 from Ligue 1 and the Champions League.
Yeah,
that's
you're
the
literally
way, like, that's
you're
what
literally,
I'm looking at.
No, I'm not saying buy them for the international breaks. You're and it effectively it does come down to
exactly what you just said.
No. I'm not saying that I would buy these players for when international comes. No. I'm saying that is the benefit you get by buying the players that are on the international listings, right, is that you get the benefits of when international duty comes, they also play. But it's not about just when they play. Like, look at this midweek, right? you guys both claimed that you couldn't even put a full lineup out because you don't have the best players from the nations. And I don't just mean the Frances, the Argentinas and stuff, but the best players, even from the minor nations,
South Korea,
having their like best 11.
Australia. Right?
Yeah. But like look at like if we look at Estonia as the like easy for me because I have the Estonia like the goalkeeper. But if you look at Estonia's roster, they've got like four players on SoRare. So buying those four players that play for Estonia and having those, so when these game weeks come, or Georgia exactly, like I'm not just talking about the Frances, the Argentinas and stuff like that. I'm talking about like the whole international roster, so that you've got like. Yes, you are buying the best players as well, but you are also buying some quite terrible players that have incredible game weeks in weeks like this that will cost you like pennies to the dollar.
Well, yes and no. I love where you're going with that, but ultimately, when that same game week France plays Faroe Islands, you're playing.
Then you have all the French players. Yeah, yeah, that's great too. Right?
I feel like you're masking this idea, which is fine. Like I think Laird and I are agreeing with you. But you're like masking it with the international being the tertiary benefit, but reality being like the guys that bang during international weeks or the guys that bang during
the regular weeks. Yeah.
During the regular weeks.
Yeah. No, I do agree. I absolutely agree with that. But for me, like the reason why like it kind of like was an epiphany moment for me, genuinely, right?
Yeah. Please tell me why. All right. We should all buy Kylian Mbappe cards. Okay.
No, it's please, because please my whole SoRare journey has been trying to find the underdog that scores well, right? Like it's trying or like appreciating the Haneys and the Carlos Hills and such or the Cecinias, rather than just being like, let me just go and buy, maybe not a great idea now, but Jude Bellingham, or let me go and buy whoever like I don't know, like who's like a mid-tier nation that still gets like easy matchups in like qualifiers and stuff. Like, let me go buy their best like attacking midfielder because they're going to give me the same outlay in those weeks. Like, I just never looked at it like that before. And for me, it was like I wonder if my strategy would have been a lot better. I wonder if I would have won a lot more if I just bought the best players from each nation rather than the best players. Per se,
I think you're just missing out on like your Estonians. Like you're never playing. You're playing Carl. You're buying Carl Hein to play him.
Well, I mean,
no, I bought him for the Arsenal collection. I mean, no, I just had him.
You're not. You're only getting the benefit six times a year.
Well, and not even sometimes that.
Yeah, like, no, that's true.
I mean, you would argue on your like your thing that you should have Australia's. Stack. Well, no, they have enough.
Okay. Yeah,
the problem is you're having to buy a what's the dude's name? Lester Harry Suter, who plays.
Oh, he's expensive, isn't he?
Who plays 2 to 3 times a year for Australia, which you don't even know that it's covered because it used to not even be covered. You know, you're having Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan's the one guy that he's good in Challenger and he's good here, but then you're having to get all these other. Sorry to my server down under brethren, but you're getting all these really shitty players that aren't even like good for the second Bundesliga. Like you're having to get Jackson Irvine in there. That's the only name I'm gonna be able to pull out of my hat right now. But you know, and then you're competing all caps in the weeks with the worst reward pools as well.
Yeah, that is a very true part of it. I even didn't look at like. I couldn't even care less about where my teams finish this week.
I think your epiphany, Nep, is you should go buy Kylian Mbappe, Harry Kane, Jude Bellingham.
But they don't. They play for one for France, two for England. I don't want that.
All right, so just go buy. Well, no. You said they have all the countries, so go buy the whole England
all and their teammates. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Easy game. As you were saying this, by the way, I was like thinking in my head, I feel like you just did like the Sean Newsham line that he started out with Chicago Fire. And he's like, you know what? It was more fun than Chicago Fire. Kylian Mbappe, Joshua Kimmich, Harry Kane. It's like literally the same trajectory.
I completely appreciate the fact that it is very much along that line of buy the best players, right? Like, I appreciate it. Maybe I just did a terrible job of explaining what I actually meant, because what I actually meant isn't just go and buy the best players.
You were talking about, like,
he said to buy them and also to play them. That's what he meant.
Well, no, I think what you're trying to cover is, like, the obscure nations too. Like,
not even just that, but even like in some of, like, the top end nations, you still have some players like Lise Milou, right? Okay, maybe he's not playing for France, but you'll have somebody in France that is playing for France, like Rabiot, who you wouldn't associate as he's a best player on the platform, because he's not really, but he plays for France all the time. He plays well for France, and he does play for Juve all the time and gets some really decent scores. So when we look at the new system, especially like if you can get like a Rabiot, I feel like his in-season would be a lot more affordable than, say, I don't know, Griezmann's in-season. So now all of a sudden you've got an in-season French player that you can put in to your Division 3 in-season lineup, rather than the Griezmann that you'd want in your Division 1 in-season lineup. So there was a few more layers to it. But yeah, ultimately, like, buy the best players.
I'm going to save you here, Nat, because we're buddies. But what you're...
Save me. You've just thrown me under the bus for the last 10 minutes. You're saving me now. Come on.
Now I'm just going to... After I beat you down, now I'm just going to help lift you up.
Thanks, man. I do appreciate that.
No, you're talking Denmark. That is the exact team to, like... I don't even know who they're playing. So I'm sorry, Laird. You better go hit bye now as I'm talking for the next 30 seconds. But you're literally talking... What was it? How many months ago? 6 months ago, when Denmark had San Marino two times in like two stands, and you're buying Christian Eriksen, who's bench at Man United. You're buying
Joachim Anderson,
who's like, who was good and hasn't been good ever since Tuggy tried to tell me to buy him. Yeah. You're talking, what is it? How do you say Højbjerg from Tottenham, who doesn't play but smashes his face off for Denmark. You're talking, well, their center back is Kjær, is the other one, who barely plays for Milan, but does well there. That's the type of team you're actually talking about. That's really good enough on the international stage, but all their best players might not be like...
The smashers. Yeah.
It might not be the smashers.
In the regular season. Yeah. Yeah. Precisely that. Yeah.
In part. Yeah.
Yeah. That was part of it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And like what Sarah Malta says is like way more intelligent, is like looking in ahead and kind of picking them up a couple of weeks before they kind of like go on that kind of like power spike of price, because everyone has the same idea, rather than cursing me in your gallery for a whole season. But that requires like effort.
Foresight.
Yeah. Like, and if you just bought them in the first place and just had them, that's it. You just play them when they're there.
Is Sober Malta asking us to buy guys without Sober pick scores? Sober data pick scores on them? Like, did we ever do that?
Not me. The other fun wrinkle that Denarly brought up, we don't even know what the international game weeks are going to look like yet.
We don't actually, yeah. $250,000 prize pools for mixed.
Hold on, excuse me for the planning. You know what this one looks like. Go get to work.
Yeah.
Bye for the short term. This week.
Oh, yeah.
I know what this weekend looks like. Get to work.
So we're all just scouting. It's a brand new concept. Everything. Could you imagine looking ahead with that? I want to finish on this Parrot Press question. When, if you got you have these guys, does winning cards excite you, or are you just playing for cash? Meaning, when you have the elite cards, should you just play for cash at that point?
I'll go ahead and mine, because I think everybody knows my answer, because I've said it a couple times here. I think playing for cash sucks.
Who plays DFS every day.
Yeah.
But you know what? I enjoy winning, and I also enjoy like the building process, and then like having something like to distract me sometimes. It's all encompassing. But you know, I think the silver reward, like, you know, when I wore one also a rare plus, like it was the going, like the anticipation of winning cards that I would never dream of. Like that, it was like never buy. That reveal, like there's a reason why when you do these silver reward reveals, you just click through the money thing real quick, and you don't go as the reward reveal. Here comes my $500. Like nobody does. You're just skipping and waiting for the card reveal, because that's where like the little anticipation is. That's my opinion. But you know, ultimately those cards can win you stuff, but
well, part of that is that you know what the cash is already. Like, you know what the reward
is.
I know, but it's still there. There's no,
imagine if first place was like a mystery amount, like minimum $1,500, maximum $3,000. Then you'd be interested.
No maximum at all.
Yeah, okay, a minimum $1 billion.
Hey, I think you just solved the jackpot problem.
Yeah. You can have a progressive jackpot that just keeps going above and above until somebody wins it. And it comes off of 0.1% of every sale on auction goes in towards the jackpot until somebody wins it. And after they win it, it just starts again at zero and carries on.
That's how you justify your max bid plus one.
Yeah.
I'm just helping the prize pools.
Yeah, it's just improving the prize pools. There you go.
So what about you, Nev? Or Larry, do you have that one?
Sorry, I was going to say, if they did that like mystery cash reward at the top, giving it to a non-content creator seems insane.
Yeah. Like,
we need to hear about it and watch it.
Yeah.
Preferably one in the US.
So if Roxy won it, would he not know for...
He would have no idea.
Well, he hasn't even unboxed like his...
Nothing. Cash in it, yeah.
Nothing. Do you think he would go in and open the cash and leave the cards?
That would be amazing flex.
That would be kind of...
Do you think it's because he just doesn't care anymore because prices are so low that he's like... Who literally,
but he has to care about the cash, or why is he submitting lineups?
Something to do.
Maybe that's the fun part.
Maybe it's just maybe actually winning is like what he gets out of it. Maybe it's like, yes, yeah. I won. There you go. What did you win? Yeah. That doesn't matter. I won.
I'm just better than the other people. Yeah. That's all. Yeah.
And realistically, and that kind of goes back to like Parapress's question, like he has every card you would want. So like winning another one is just like, great.
Yeah, who cares?
So did we just prove that winning cash doesn't matter that much? Because he's just like...
Well, when you have that much cash, I don't think it matters that much.
Why are you even playing?
It's a fun game.
So, no, I want to hear before you end, Laird. So, do you still think winning cash sucks compared to winning a card? Or, like, that winning a card is much more fun than winning cash?
I think those are two different things.
Oh, yeah?
I think winning cash is fun, but I think winning cards is much more fun. But, I mean, it's not even comparable.
I think because my experience of winning cards has been generally terrible. When I win one, it's so bad that I just much prefer the cash. Yeah.
If you had won Mbappe, do you think you'd totally change?
No, it didn't need to be Mbappe. It just tends to be that, like, you know, you're winning a star, but you're getting a star that's like almost out of the star pool. And is like Ter Stegen's actually on a downward trajectory out of star as well. It just feels crap. Like, because in another week from now, he might be a tier one, and that's not a star at that point. It was in the moment, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I understand that. I'm also just picturing the thumbnail of the I won so rare when you have your Mbappe card and it's your pick. Like, had you won Mbappe, like, you know, we would have gotten that video.
Yeah, I would have loved to win Mbappe. Yeah. Like, I actually didn't upload the video, I think, where I won Ter Stegen because I was so, like, dejected. I was so unhappy with my reward that I was like, no, like, nobody wants to see this. Like, if I was watching somebody else win a £700 card and be unhappy with it, I'd be like, where do you get off? Like, so, yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't. Yeah.
I agree. Even though Keith's just dying to watch Sean open up shitty rewards.
Only person that's ever admitted that is Mike Bastin. Thank you very much.
Fair enough. Well, at least publicly. Yeah. Anyway, thank you to everybody for coming. If you could please like, subscribe, all that good stuff. Shout out to Quinny. So I think we did a really good job of completely ignoring or at least not giving an answer to any of this. But yeah, make sure you have a plan and a strategy and, you know, do as we say, not as we do. Yeah, I said that right. Anyway, Keith, Nep, good to see you. And we'll see you guys around.